I'm talking this week at these morning services, my overall theme is Adventism relevant to the 1990s. Everybody today is trying to be relevant. The Council of Churches is talking about changing some of the words in the Bible. We don't want to be called, the Christ doesn't want to be called the Son of Man anymore. He's the Son of a person. They don't want to offend the feminist movement in the world. They don't want to call God Father anymore. They want some other term for it. We're all trying to be relevant. But probably there was never a time when religion is more relevant than it is today. I was scanning through the Reader's Digest of the month of May this year, and I picked up a little statement there that I want to start my meetings with this morning. It says, "Communism's inability to eradicate man's spiritual instinct must rank among the greatest failures of history." When you think of what's happening in Russia right now, the president of our conference just left the other day, Portland, to go over to hold meetings in Russia. We can't get enough evangelists over there. The people are crowding in. He says intellectuals have, in fact, for centuries considered the demise of religion inevitable. As enlightenment spread, it was confidently predicted that mankind would shrug off this ancient superstition. But even with atheism enshrined as official policy, faith survived despite mass propaganda, public school brainwashing, laws that forced organized religion into the catacombs and punished the believers that ranged from loss of employment to imprisonment. Atheism was rooted. It's been thrown out today. The people that were so many years rooted in this kind of a philosophy, today have thrown it off. And they're looking at religion again. It's as if the 73-year-old horror of communism was no more than a divine object lesson. We were taken to the brink of the abyss and bade to look in to see the fate that awaited mankind in a godless world. Humanity did an immediate about-face, marching double time into the arms of religion once more. What has happened to the opiate of the masses? In September of 1990, while Soviet leaders looked on, the Russian Orthodox Church's patriarch led the first liturgical service within the walls of the Kremlin since 1918. In October, the Soviet Parliament passed a law guaranteeing a broad range of religious rights, prohibiting state interference in church affairs and getting government out of the business of propagating atheism. The religious renaissance going on within the Soviet Union makes a Baptist revival meeting look sedate by comparison. Jewish day schools are opening. Baptist revivals are proliferating. Clergy appearing on television to deliver the Sunday sermon. Over 1,000 Orthodox churches returned to religious authorities. Protestants holding services in Moscow and Leningrad. Not in the churches, in the stadiums. The crowds are so great. Well, I say there never was a time, probably, when religion is as relevant as it is today. And Adventism has probably become more relevant. When in the history of Adventism has our message been more relevant than today? Look what's happening. Look at our story of the second coming of Jesus Christ. In the early days when Adventism began, they threw people out of the churches because we believed in the literal soon return of Jesus Christ. Now everybody's proclaiming it. It's on the bumper stickers. It's everywhere. People talking about what an impact we have made on the world with our Advent message. We're talking about it today. There never was a time when our health message was more relevant than today. Think what's happened in smoking. Oh, in places across this country, you can't smoke anymore anywhere. They have some places where you still smoke and get off by yourself, but that's fast diminishing too. What about our diet? There never was a time when vegetarianism was as important today as it is today. People are talking about it. Low-fat diet, low-cholesterol diet, red meat, they say. If you want to live a long time, don't eat red meat. Cut out all of this sort of thing. Our message is relevant today. Our country living, the cities are becoming so polluted. The world is becoming so sinful. It's difficult to live in these areas of the world. Those people that move up to Alaska that Brother Richards talked about last night, getting out. I've been up there and visited some of them. They say if anybody gets within 3.5 miles of them, they move again. Getting too crowded. They like to be out away from the cities, from the crowds and the people and everything that's going on. Alcohol. There never was a time when our message about alcohol and total abstinence was as relevant as it is today. Our time of trouble we've talked about with earthquakes and famine and war and pestilence. Look what's happening in the world. An increase of knowledge and a rushing to and fro. There never was a time when that was more relevant than today. So we are a relevant faith. We're a relevant church. We have a relevant message for the world. What about theology? What about our theological message? Romans, the first chapter in the 8th verse says, all over the world they are telling the story of your faith. What a thrill it is to visit the different countries of the world. We visited AWR. You people gave money to establish AWR out there in Guam the other day. And they told us 115 countries have already responded to our message in Guam. 38,000 letters have come in from different people in these different countries asking for literature. The work is going forward. There never was a time when our message was more relevant. Romans 16:19, New English Bible says, through Him and for His name's sake we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. I want to talk a little bit about the struggles that are going on in Adventism. As we grow and develop and we have more education, we have higher education, we have more people coming into the church in all the countries around the world, it's becoming a difficult problem to hold Adventism together in unity. I remember a few months ago I was called to a meeting in Washington, and the president of the General Conference said, the biggest task that I have as president of the General Conference is to hold this church together. Hold it together with all the cultures, all the people, all the philosophies, with over 2,000 different religions, all claiming to have the one faith, hope, and doctrine of the Bible. More and more, it's become a problem. Within our own church, it seems like there are strange winds blowing. I want to talk about them this week. I just don't want to paint all the rosy pictures. I want to tell you what some of the things are that we as a church have to face as we come to these closing days. I had a letter a few days ago from a minister out in Portland, Oregon. That's where we're living at the present time. I've known him for many years. We used to travel together quite a bit. Well, I used to help him with certain things that he had problems with. And he says in the letter, he opened up the letter and he says, I've been preaching now for 21 years as a Seventh-day Adventist preacher. But he said, I have a great burden. And I'm writing to you, Brother Hackett, because I know you do a lot of preaching around the country and around the world. I'm writing to you to tell you that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is wrong. I have discovered that the doctrine of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is outmoded. The spirit of prophecy is outmoded. And he talked about all the things the spirit of prophecy had said about how a girl ought to harness a horse and how we ought to build our sanitariums out of wood and not out of brick. And he quoted all the things that spirit of prophecy said. And he said, in fact, the message of Jesus to the world. When he talked about keeping his commandments, he wasn't talking about the Ten Commandments. He said, all we have to do is to preach love to the world. Let's preach the love of Jesus to the world. He said, I've got a new lease on life. And then he closed the paragraph of his letter, four-page letter, closed it and he said, I've got cancer of the throat. And I can't preach anymore. I can hardly talk anymore. But the Lord's going to heal me. And all he's waiting on is me to give this message to the Adventist Church. So I'm writing to the leaders of the Adventist Church. I'm writing to the members of the Adventist Church to inform them and enlighten them about the message that God has given me. And as soon as I get that done, he's going to heal me. I talked to one of his relatives just the other day. They said he's on his last breath. The Lord hasn't healed him, seen fit to do that. So I wrote back and I said to him, my dear brother, I'm not writing to condemn you. I'm not writing because I want to debate with you. I think you've forgotten some things. The message of Jesus about love. Have you forgotten about Luke 19, where the rich young ruler came to Jesus, came running to Jesus and knelt down before the crowd and said, Master, what good thing do I have to do to be saved? What's your message of salvation? And Jesus didn't say, love me. He didn't even quote John 3:16. He didn't even sing the song that says, come just as you are. He said, keep the commandments. What commandments was he talking about? Well, if you follow on through, you'll find what commandments he was talking about. He named about six of the Ten Commandments he was talking about. I said, brother, I'm sorry, but if you've found something that satisfies your soul, who am I to condemn you? I don't want to condemn you. I'll be praying for you. I'm afraid I'll be able to celebrate his funeral when I go back home. What about our message today? I hear a lot of that in the church. The new theology that came along here a while back. I was one of those that was the chairman up in the meetings up in Colorado here when we had the Ford controversy going on. I've gone through the Brinsmead controversy. I've gone through, in my years, you see, brother, I've had quite a few of these. You know, when you get to be my age, well, you've seen a lot of things happen. You know, I've gone through the horse and buggy age. When we used to go to church, I went to church in a horse and buggy. And when our preacher came with a new Ford, bought a brand new Ford for $450, we called a board meeting. Find out whether we ought to keep him or not. I've gone through the automobile age. I've seen that. I've seen the train age, and I've seen the airplane age. Well, there was a time when I was a kid who used to run out and say to everybody, there's an airplane going over. And then we passed that now. We're in the age now of Telstar. We're in the age of traveling out there 18,000 to 20,000 miles an hour, traveling over the world. The other day when we got on the plane in Portland, it was sunshine all the way. All the way. We were going as fast as the sun. We're living in a great age. I've seen all of it, but I've seen the age in the church too. I've seen all of these different philosophies come into the church. But Adventism has survived it all. And I believe it's going to survive to the very end. And I'm going to talk a little about that this week here. Some of these strange doctrines that are flowing around. Somebody told me the other day, we've got a teacher in one of our schools who doesn't ever believe in the historicity of Genesis 1 to 11. Why, they said there's another man in our church that says there's no geoscience evidence at all for a flood. a universal flood, the story of Noah, that's just a story that the writers of the Bible put in order to help people realize what a wonderful God they had. So I'm wondering about this. I was listening to television the other day. I do that occasionally, especially the news. But it was a religious program came on. And they had psychologists all up there on the platform. And the thing they were asking about was, how could these electronic evangelists that preach the gospel, how could they suddenly fall, so many of them? What's happening? Here they were preaching Christ to thousands and millions, and people were turning in money by the thousands to them, and suddenly they've fallen. They've had a moral fall, a lot of them. What's going on? And so they were proposing this question to these psychologists that were there on the platform. And so one of the psychologists got up and he said, well, I'll tell you what's the matter. He said, there's nothing wrong with the Christian religion. He said, there's just something wrong with our concept in it. He said, in the last few years, we've been preaching love. Years ago, we preached law. Now we've swung the pendulum the other way, and now we're preaching love. And we're preaching, come to the Lord just as you are, and you don't have to change. Just stay like you are. And he said, these electronic evangelists have prescribed that kind of a program to the people. And their whole religious experience, he said, is one that the Christianity is just, God forgives everybody, He loves everybody, everything is justification. Everything is just love. And he said, these fellows have gotten to the place where they have perverted the Christian religion. And I was kind of proud of him. Even though I don't think much of some psychologists, I thought he was pretty good. And then I picked up a book the other day by a Baptist preacher out in California. New book that's come out. And he says, I have discovered that the preaching of the great evangelist among so many of the Protestant churches today is a false religion. He said, I have discovered that there's one little church that has the real concept of what faith really is. Faith in Jesus Christ. And I kept reading on. And he said, that little church has a balance between faith and works. He said, they preach not only that Jesus Christ is Savior, they preach that He is Lord. And he said, that's the little church called the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Brothers and sisters, we've got a balance in our theology today. God gave us the balance. You know why I believe we have it? We had enough denominations before the Adventist Church began. There were 1,357 different denominations in the world when the Adventist Church began. We didn't need another denomination, but God needed a movement in the world that would somehow have the truth for the closing days of Earth's history. And He began a movement in the churches, and people began to come out of them, and out of that came the Remnant Church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Do you believe that? And I believe God had a work for us to do. We have a unique message to give to the world. And I believe He gave us the total truth, don't you? There's some churches have the gospel of the Father, and some have the gospel of the Son, and some have the gospel of the Holy Spirit. But God put it all together, if I could say it reverently, God's package deal for the world. He put it all together in the three angels' messages. And He gave us that to preach to the world. And that's what we are. And we must be careful that we're not moved out of the concept that God gave to the Adventist Church when He established it back there in the beginning. I've seen some of these things come and go. Oh, yes. We can quote John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And we ought to. Probably the best known text in all the Bible. That concept of what Christ did for us is so wonderful. But friend, It was just as important that Christ live for us as it was for Him to die for us. Just as important. We have the song, "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou didst bid them come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." Yes, we come just as we are. I heard an Adventist theologian a few weeks ago that came to Portland to preach. And that Adventist theologian was preaching about the love of God. And it was good. Oh, I liked what she said. It was a woman. I liked what she said. It was beautiful. And then she got along a little farther and she said, "You know, behavior has nothing to do with your religion." And my ears pricked up a little bit. And I said, "I wonder what more she's going to say." And then she used the illustration of the prodigal son. And she said, "You know, when the prodigal son came to the father, he had no track record. He had no checklist as to whether he had lived the life or not. His behavior had nothing to do with his acceptance in the by his father." And that's the way it is when we come to the Father. We have no chairs, no checklist for it. We just come as we are. And then left it kind of there. When I got home, I kind of looked that up again in the Bible. And there was one little phrase she forgot to talk about. When that poor fellow, young man, was out there, he left home in rebellion, a state of rebellion. He wanted all his father's goods that he could get a hold of, and he went out and he spent it riotlessly. And there he finally ended up in the pig pen, you remember. And he was so hungry he was eating the husks off the corn. He had to give the corn to the pigs. But there's a little statement there. It says, "And he came to his senses." He came to his senses. Brothers and sisters, what is this faith that we're talking about? We're talking about righteousness by faith. We've written books about it. We've got dozens of people preaching righteousness by faith today. And that's wonderful. We got lots of people preaching love. We ought to have more love. And that's wonderful too. But what is faith? What does faith include? What is real faith in Christ? I liked Maxwell's definition of faith. Graham Maxwell preaches down in Loma Linda. I had him over for a union workers' meeting. And I'll never forget his definition of faith. He said, "Faith is a word we use to describe a relationship as with a person well known. Faith is believing whatever God says, accepting whatever God offers, and doing whatever God wishes, without reservation for the rest of eternity." That kind of faith is perfectly safe to save. Oh yes, MacArthur in his book says, the time has come when the whole Protestant world ought to be preaching not only that Jesus Christ is our forgiver, that He's our lover, that He's our Savior, but He's also our Lord. All around the world I've seen the difference. And what happens when people understand the true faith? What is faith? Well, there are three parts to faith. There's an intellectual faith. There are a lot of people that have an intellectual faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're theologians, many of them. They have a concept of what the Bible teaches and what it says. And then there's a group of people that have an emotional faith. The preaching of hellfire, you know, and the sawdust trail has had its effect upon people. And they come to the Lord emotionally. But then there is something beyond that. You remember Jacob had that emotional faith. When his sons came home from Egypt down there, Genesis 45:26. They had seen their brother that they had sold into slavery. Down there in Egypt, here he was, the prime minister. And they went down there to buy food, one of the most thrilling stories in the Bible. And they came home and they said to their father, "Joseph is yet alive." And Genesis 45:26 says, he accepted it. He fainted, but he believed them not. There are a lot of people who have an emotional faith in Jesus Christ. And there are people that have an intellectual faith. They believe the facts of the gospel. But there's something beyond that in faith. And Adventism preaches that. There's an attitudinal faith. There's an attitudinal faith. Let's put it in three different ways. The intellectual element, an understanding, the emotional element, which is conviction, affirmation of truth. Then there's the volitional element of faith. The volitional element of faith, which is the determination to obey the truth. When Seventh-day Adventists came into the world, God called us to preach the law of God. He gave us the message of the Sabbath because the world had forgotten that. The Reformation had brought salvation by faith. Luther had preached that. Melanchthon, Huss, Zinzendorf, the great reformers had preached it. But here was something that was lacking. And so God brought Adventism into the world. And it's too bad that we went through a period of time there where we kind of became legalistic. And we were kind of shaken up in 1888 when Jones and Wagner began to preach about righteousness by faith. And then sometimes we've gone the other direction. Have you noticed how the pendulum swings back and forth? It swings. And so we got to the place where we're kind of like the other churches. We began to preach it. That was the problem of the Ford philosophy. He made everything of justification, but sanctification was something else. Works, don't need that. I went to hold a week of prayer a while back, and one of the fellows said to me, "I don't want you to mention obedience at all to these young people. Obedience is salvation by works." Well, we went through a period of that, you know. But I understand faith to believe that I make Him my Lord, too. All over the world, the Bible says, we demonstrate what that faith does. That's what Adventism is doing over the world. It's demonstrating the faith. Faith is something interesting. Love. I was reading in the General Conference minutes the other day. I still get them. They send them to me out of courtesy. And somebody gave a little devotional there on love. And they said, joy is the gladness of love. Peace is the quietness of love. Long-suffering is the patience of love. Gentleness is the graciousness of love. Goodness is the character of love. Faith is the confidence of love. Meekness is the humility of love. Discipline is the self-control of love. Oh, I like that. Discipline is the self-control of love. Love has all these facets. Faith has all these facets. When I have our understanding, a right understanding of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I know that I'm not saved by works. No way am I saved by works. But when I have that faith, I become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He takes hold of me. And He does something in my life. When that young man came to the Father, he was a different person, wasn't he? When that prodigal came home, all that pride, all that arrogance that he had, I want what belongs to me, was gone. When the father ran out there and met him, he said, "Father, I'm no longer worthy to be a son. Just let me be a servant in your house." Something had happened in his life. And from now on, he was a different man. Brothers and sisters, that's what God's looking for in the Adventist church today. God needs a people who can demonstrate what faith does in the life. It changes our lifestyle. It changes our motivation. It changes our concept. It changes our whole life. Now He becomes Lord of my life. I want to follow Him. I want to imitate Him to the very best of my ability. That's what faith is all about. And that's the relative Advent message for today. I've traveled around the world and I've seen the Advent message. I wish all of you could have had that privilege of seeing what our message is doing in South America, seeing what it's doing in Inter-America. I visited some of the islands down there. One of the conference presidents said, "Brother Hackett, you know what's happening? The spirit of prophecy is fulfilled in our field." "What do you mean?" She said, "She saw lights in every village. Saw lights in every village." We understood that to mean that there were churches in every village. He said, "In all of our island territory here, we now have a church in every village in our islands. There's not a village that we don't have a church in." And he said, "Now we're just multiplying them. We're just making them larger. There's no new territory to enter in those islands." Well, we have a lot of new territory yet over the world. But I went to Fiji. In Fiji, we have a great work going there. And the Adventist church there is called the Clean Church. I kind of like that. The Clean Church. In the Solomon Islands, where they have a betel nut, and their faces get all stained and their teeth get all stained, the Adventist church there is called the Very Clean Church. They've added a little bit to that. Over in Poland, we were called the Place of the Washing of Hearts. I kind of like that. When your heart is washed, brother, sister, you're a different person. Different person. In Estonia, we're called the Walking Forth Commandment. Not too bad either, is it? The Walking Forth Commandment. Elder F.A. Stahl down there in Peru. I met his granddaughter out in Guam a few days ago. Stahl, I went down there among those Indians, out there in Plateria, where he built a big school for the Inca Indians. And there's a big plaque up there, put up by the government. It's all in copper. And it's in Spanish, so I had to have somebody translate it for me. But it says, "This school, this escuela, was established by the God man, Elder F.A. Stahl." Pretty good name, isn't it? Pretty good reputation, the God man. Yugoslavia, we're called the Twice Born Church. In Cuba, we're called the Men of the Coming King. In Spain, the Signs of the Times Church. We've got an identity. I'm a little worried about this concept that we have today, that we don't need any kind of an identity. There's some churches developing today, and the Adventist church that say, "We don't want the name Adventist on it anymore. We don't want the name Adventist church anymore." I think God had an identity in the remnant church, don't you? They kept the commandments of God, as Elder Richard said last night, and the faith of Jesus. We have an advantage. The Adventist church has an advantage in the world. What is the advantage? We didn't coin that phrase. It was coined by Time magazine. Back in 1963, a big center page came out. And then Time magazine of July issue. And it said, "The Seventh-day Adventist Advantage." What was it? Well, it was our health reform. Told how many people in the Adventist church lived longer than other people. How we had less lung cancer. And all these things. Where did we get all of that? Well, we got it from the commandments of God and the spirit of prophecy. We got a combination. We have an identity. The Adventist church has an identity. And I'm worried about some of these people that are throwing over the red books. You see, I'm an old-fashioned Adventist. You can tell that, can't you? I'm an old-fashioned Adventist. I still believe that God called this people to do a specific work and gave them a specific message, don't you? And Brother Hohen, if we don't have that concept, there's no reason for it. There's no reason. You can find all the doctrines that we preach except our peculiar message in all the other churches. We have Philippines. I worked out there for a number of years. They had a kind of a derogatory name for us. We were called the Sabadistas. Sabadistas. Oh, he's a Sabadista. He kept the Sabbath. Today, it's a different story. When you go out there, people say, oh, he's a Sabbatista. The whole concept has changed today. He's a Sabbatista. We got the finest hospital in the city of Manila. It has a wonderful reputation. Our people have a reputation of honesty. They have a reputation out there, an identity. They're now Sabbatistas way up here. If you want to go to the bank and borrow any money, you just tell them, I'm a Sabbatista. I'm a Sabbatista. A few years ago, there was a letter came addressed to the people of God, Washington, D.C. Well, where do you send a letter like that? And they put it in the dead letter box. And finally, one of the postmen came around looking at these dead letters, and he saw this, the people of God, Washington, D.C. He said, I know where that belongs. I'll take that in my route. And so he took it out to Tacoma Park, where we had our world headquarters. And he presented it to the brethren out there, and he said, I think this belongs here. And the treasurer opened it up, and there was a letter in there for $1,000 for ingathering. The people of God, Washington, D.C. Brothers and sisters, we have a theological identity in the world today. The people who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. And God is looking for a group of people who will follow what He called them to do. Our Sabbath school lessons, the last quarter on Ezekiel here, have been so pertinent that we haven't followed. Israel didn't follow what God wanted them to do. They wandered off. They wanted to be like the world. We have the same tendency, the same temptation to kind of wander away from what God's told us, the unique concept that God's given us, the total truth that He's given us, put in one passage. We have a little tendency to want to be like the world. Our identity is in our lifestyle. And I'm worried when I see the lifestyle of the remnant church deteriorating into a worldly fashion. I'm worried about that. I'm going to talk more about that. My last subject's on adornment. How long's it been since you heard a sermon on adornment? I'm going to talk about adornment. The identity of the Adventist church. I'm going to talk about legalism. Going to talk about all these things that we're accused of during these morning meetings. But brethren and sisters, there never was a time when we needed the Advent message more than today. It is a relevant message for the world. And let us not forget that. Let us not destroy it. Let us not disobey the commandment of God. Let us walk humbly in the ways of truth and righteousness. And in this early morning hour, you need a medal for getting up so early in the morning. This early morning hour, brothers and sisters, let's pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon this meeting, shall we? Let's ask God in some special way to come into this meeting. Our president has called this camp meeting here, and I was impressed last night as the workers met together. We want to be prepared for this meeting. We want to have our hearts so cleansed that God can shower His Holy Spirit upon us, that we can make a difference in this community. We can make a difference in the world. And thank God we are. We are. I wonder if we couldn't have just a few little prayers here this morning. Where you're sitting there, and then I'll close the season. Couldn't we just pair up by twos this morning, or threes, or however you are there together? And let's have a little prayer that God will send His Holy Spirit, that He'll hold this church together, that He'll keep this church with the concept that we have a message. We have something to do in the world. We're here to make a difference in the world. Let's pray this morning that God will take our own hearts and make a difference. Let's come to our senses. And as we come to the Father, let us be different people in our lives. Shall we this morning? Could we do that? Let's take just a 2 or 3 minutes here to just kneel together there, or just sit in the seat, whichever is more comfortable for you. I'm going to talk about kneeling after a while and what the concept of kneeling is, principle of kneeling. But some of you can't kneel too well. You're getting a little stiff in the bones like I am. So if you just feel more comfortable sitting there, let's just have a little season of prayer, shall we? We're going to have it up here and you have it there. Let's do it just now. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the prayers that have ascended to Thee. If these prayers were in the symbol of smoke ascending from the sanctuary, no doubt in heaven this morning, this church would look like it was on fire with the smoke ascending heavenward from the prayers of the saints. Oh Lord, may this be a great day in our cause, in our lives, in the lives of Thy people everywhere. We pray not selfishly, Lord. Remember the other camp meetings and the work that's going on in the church around the world. Hasten the day when we'll all be together in glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. To order CDs or audio cassettes of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 1-800-233-4450. International calls, please dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. There you will discover the largest selection of genuine Adventist preaching available. American Cassette Ministries is not a one-man band. It's an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Cassette Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? Our email address is info@americancassette.org. We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and financial support are important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.